Hey, what you waiting on? Check, checkers on your phone. This the Tony Sands Show. Turn your radio on. Chelsea just turned down like a field goal, so we in the zone. Got games like a stadium. I'ma go ahead and pack the dome. I'm cooler, smoother. Make you think with your medulla. You a student. I'ma school you with the facts that I'm producing. This is for the high schoolers, college students. Nah, everyone can do it. Do this. I ain't new to this. My style is rich. It's lucrative. Maneuver through it. You know it's fashion. You know it's so sensational. Like my big homie Tony. You could catch me every Monday at the kickoff on Sunday. I got these cold hard facts and we ain't talking Sundays. Co-host with Kelly Daly. Shout out to the big homie. You know it's so sensational. Like my big homie Tony. Co-hosting with Kelly Daly. You know it's facts only. You know I'm so sensational. Like my big homie Tony. Tony, Tony, Tony.
Go BBS Radio.
Back in here, and Adam, what do we know about Trayvon Diggs?
Laura, Trayvon Diggs suffered a knee injury during the early portion of practice during a one-on-one drill, and the MRI has confirmed that he indeed has a torn ACL. It's a devastating blow to the Dallas defense, to Trayvon Diggs, who this summer signed a five-year, $97 million extension. He had been off to a strong start this season, knocking down passes to Jets receivers, the Giants offensive players, as well as stripping the ball loose. And Trayvon Diggs was one of the primary playmakers on this team. Suffered the injury early in practice, was on crutches afterwards. They did the MRI, and it showed exactly what doctors thought, a torn ACL, a massive midweek blow to the Dallas Cowboys defense.
We're live here on the Tony Sands Show. As you just saw, opening up our show, we're bringing breaking news in Dallas, Texas. Listen, Trayvon Diggs, a guy that has been monumental to the Dallas Cowboys defense and what is taking place in the donut that he did with the Giants. And further, listen, it's going to be hard to replace a Trayvon Diggs. There's guys out there that are out on the market, I'm quite sure. Me and V talked about some of the guys off air. And then they might have to go back to another guy named Trayvon and try to bring Trayvon Mullins back to the Dallas Cowboys. He was a guy that was with the Dallas Cowboys at one point or another. He could be KB. Caron Brown was another guy that was with the Dallas Cowboys that could possibly come back in to help the Dallas Cowboys. I'm quite sure the Dallas, Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones right now are scrambling to see who they can get to replace Trayvon Diggs. Well, you're never going to replace him, but who they can get to fill in for that spot on that side. Gilmore now, they're going to go away from Gilmore. They're going to test who's ever on that other side. B, we talked about it off the show. What's some of the names that you brought up as we was coming into the show?
Big news today, Tony. First off, disappointed to hear Trayvon Diggs is hurt. First off, yes. You don't have to be a Cowboys fan to respect this man's game. Respect his fatherhood, too, because I see him out there with his son all the time, and I love it. Yes. So this is a big, big, big drop. But we immediately, as sports fans, you and I, as journalists, immediately turn our attention immediately and focus on who can the Dallas Cowboys put in or assist to be able to help. Correct. So immediately, first name I came to, I thought of, I said Patrick Peterson might be a name of you. But then you and I, as we talked about it more, we agreed, wait a minute, man, Patrick Peterson, he cost a lot of money, and we don't even know if he got nothing left. You know what I'm saying? Just get into leaving Patrick Peterson out of the mix for a minute, okay?
Correct.
The guy I think you should go after as a Dallas Cowboy fan, I think you should call down the Big D once the show is over, Tony. And I think you should try to get Bradley Roby.
Yes.
Bradley Roby, ladies and gentlemen, who's just in San Francisco a week ago. He's tough. Right. He used to play for the mighty Denver Broncos. All right?
Guys,
but we know Bradley Roby can play. Yeah, and the young guy, he's got some game left in him, right? He's missed three weeks of a season, so you don't have to two weeks, so you don't have to pay him a full salary. He's currently not working, and I think Bradley Roby would be an excellent addition to the Dallas Cowboys. Is he Trayvon Diggs? No. There is no Trayvon Diggs. There's only Sauce Gardner, Trayvon Diggs, Patrick Surtain from my Denver Broncos. These are elite corners, ladies and gentlemen. They're not plug-and-play guys that you can go ahead and make substitutions for. So with that being said, Tony, it's a big loss. I would have to say Bradley Roby would be my first choice because you don't have to give up compensation for a pick, and the salary would be commensurate with workable to your salary.
Now, And see, I brought up some guy that was already at one point in the Cowboys locker room, understand what Dan Quinn tries to do. He, you know, they was there for a season or two. So that's why right. the names I brought up because I know those are some of the guys that they would probably try to look at, because these guys are what? They're on the market right now. And
wait, hold on. One other thing, not to cut you before our listeners, and you're right, Trayvon Mullen is a perfect person because he's been in the system. And as you said, in football, you have to get somebody that is adequate enough with your system, your scheme, your tendencies, and understanding. It's hard to do. It's not like baseball. You get a guy, you give him the ball, and he goes out there and he starts throwing the ball, and things happen like that.
Correct.
So the only problem with Trayvon Mullen is, though, is that he got a toe injury.
Yeah.
All right. So. Yeah. Right. So I think that he I don't know if the Ravens cut him. I have to look back into that. But if I remember correctly, I don't think Trayvon, right?
They had let him go. Yeah, they had let him go because of the injury. So
it's slim pickings.
Because when you look at the production of Trayvon Diggs over the last couple of years with the Dallas Cowboys, I mean, you look at in 2022, Trayvon Diggs accounted for 56 tackles. 47 solos, 9 assists. And that was the year, you know, he had 3 interceptions then. But when you go back to the 21 interceptions. I mean, 11 interceptions, 48 tackles. You're talking about a guy that is a mass contributor to what the Dallas Cowboys like to do. They like to play man. That frees up Michael Parsons to do what he want to do. Do they try to stop figuring out? Then they got to pick up a guy that's a man corner. Some not a cover two corner. Some people may say, well, what's the difference? Okay, you got some guys that are not great man corners. And when we look at it, people looked at sometime the difference, even when you look at Asante Samuel was more of a cover two type corner. He loved to play it, and that's why he was able to get so many picks. Can he play man? Yeah, but he was more comfortable in playing that two scheme for the Patriots and Atlanta, because it freed him up to make those daring interceptions that he made. So it's going to be interesting to see what Dallas do within the next 48 hours to get someone to fill. Bland right now is their next man up. He's the next man up for him. Has he been grooming himself and preparing? Sometimes guys that sit behind guys don't prepare themselves be the guy.
That's right.
Because they don't know when that guy is going to go down. Now right. You're the guy. Next up, right. What do you do? Can you hold the line?
That's right. Is he ready to step in? And as you mentioned before, the whole difference of scheme changes, because when Trayvon Diggs is on the field and Stephon Gilmore on the opposite side, it allows the Dallas Cowboys to do right. so many intricate things with the other players on the football field that frees people up. Micah Parsons is able to play a certain way. Right? Safeties can shade down in the box in certain instances, because you can go man-to-man with these two elite man corners. Right? So so it allows blitz packages and so many other intricate things to be able to be done. Losing him, the whole thing kind of like changes, man. You know, you might have to go on that side with Bland. The safety might have to shade over to help Bland, depending on who's Bland's covering, to help him out, you know? Now, do you go more nickel packages in certain instances to be able to help out? It's going to be it's a chess match.
I'm quite sure Dan Quinn and his staff, right, and his defensive staff alone is sitting right now in meetings with each other, figuring out how could this have happened at this right. time. You know, you probably can get away with it this week. You can get away with it this week against the Cardinals. It's going to be tough when you get ready to meet San Francisco. You need all hands on deck when you meet San Francisco. And that's where I think by that time they should have been found out what they had as a team itself.
All right, I'll throw a name out there that's on the Dallas Cowboys right now. This gentleman used to play for the Miami Dolphins, okay?
Yes.
Now, you got Noah Igbinoghi from Auburn, 5'11 corner, started out his career in 2020 with the Miami Dolphins. Guy played about 16 games, not really a starter, a package guy,
but he knows the system. He knows the system. That's what they got to get somebody that can fill in right away that knows the system.
And I don't know if he can go, ladies and gentlemen, he's only 5'11". I don't know if this guy is more of a, I think he's more of a nickel guy. But in instances like this between him and Bland, if Bland shows you something that, you know, you're going to have to play around with the packaging of the roster first, I think, and for this week to give multiple guys opportunities performance-wise so you can start to judge to see, can these guys play, go another week? Or do we really need to go out and start to make an acquisition? And how big of an acquisition? Top tier corner, mid-level, or Bradley Roby?
Now, the luxury that they have, they do have, you know, you kept it at the corner position. You still kept it, you know, you kept it too deep on at the right corner, the left corner, and at the nickel position. You did keep it. So, you know, you can – pop, you can get away with it this way. It's not a rush thing to try to rush and do the wrong thing. I'm quite sure Jerry Jones want to take his time and find the right guy that if you're going to bring him in and put him over Noah, put him over Bland, you're going to have to find the right guy. Can't play around and not find that right corner that's going to help you get past that juggernaut, what they call San Francisco 49ers. That's going to be your NFC kryptonite. If you don't get it that right now, if I was getting ready to judge them and they still had Diggs, I'm giving the edge to the Dallas Cowboys. I'm giving a slight edge to the Dallas Cowboys over the San Francisco 49ers, especially depending on how San Francisco plays the Giants tonight.
Ooh.
Now, they got to listen. In order for them to really signify that they're better than the Dallas Cowboys, they got to shut the Giants down, and they got to score a lot of points. Because Dallas put a zero and scored 40. Can San Francisco handle that type of pressure with the Giants? It's going to be a little easier because the Giants does not have Saquon Barkley. So it should be more of a where you can put up at least you got to put up 50, and they can't score in order for me to say – it equals you up to the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah. Listen, San Francisco is a contender. This is a long-term issue for the Dallas Cowboys, but it allows this. You got 15 more games to figure this out.
Yes, you do.
It starts with this week within the roster first, evaluating talent on the roster, practice squad guys get pulled up and everything, right? And then we'll see who's – we'll look at the tape and try to see who's actually doing their job and who's not. And from there, I think the Dallas Cowboys will have to make a determination. But I think we all can agree they will have to bring in someone of some stature, whatever level. Got to bring in somebody.
You got to – well, yeah, they're going to have to. They're going to probably have to carry – probably bring somebody in and then carry a third guy because they're going to have to – it's going to play a chess match of who Al Harris at this point feel more comfortable with plugging into what Trayvon Diggs leave out of, whether it's Bland or Noah. And I looking at it, the way I look at it, because I feel nickel guys are different than just a straight corner guy. And I feel he's probably going to go with Noah
when
it comes to putting that in more than Bland. I feel he's going to go more with the Noah guy. He's more the type of corner that
– and I think Al he's Harris more aggressive. He's more of an aggressive corner. From Auburn, we watch this kid. He's more of an aggressive, scrappy guy. Now, if he gets beat, he gets beat, but you can live with it as a coordinator because this guy fits your scheme. He understands the scheme.
Yes.
He's been in the system now for a moment. But at the same time, he understands this guy has to be aggressive in order to play this defensive unit. You have to be aggressive currently to play with this group of Dallas Cowboys.
You got to figure it out. It wasn't like he was a slouch down here with the Miami Dolphins.
Sure.
He played pretty well for the Miami Dolphins. So that's what I'm saying. I think if I'm guessing, I'm going to assume that Al would probably go with Noah over Bland. But that's the way it's going. When we talk about Bland, listen, man, let's get into you that mask that you got on. People, what's the name of the character?
The Lucha Libre mask, ladies and gentlemen, straight from Mexico and my journeys down. I went when the Denver Broncos did an NFL symposium down in Mexico City to promote the Denver Bronco NFL brand because apparently after doing some sports analysis for Brandon, they realized that outside of America, the biggest Denver Bronco fan base is in Mexico. So when I went down there, they actually knew I was a big fan of the Denver Broncos, and they custom made a Lucha Libre mask, which is a wrestling mask for wrestlers in Mexico. Mil Mascaras is the name of the wrestler, 80s, that invented this. Every time Mil Mascaras would wrestle, he would wear a different mask, and he never wore the same mask. So in honor of the people in Mexico, that are Denver Bronco fans, and on the Tony Sands show, I want to present something different. We this have our Lucha Libre Denver Broncos mask. And this is insignia of this team better get it together.
Listen, man.
They better get it together.
And guys, listen, he shocked me with it. He had said, wait a minute, hold on, I'm finna go get something and come back. And when he come back with a mask on. I thought he had and got mixed up on his way back that he was watching the WWE. And then he called out the Lucha Libre mask and he came back. And he jumped
Lucha
in the
Libre,
seat.
Lucha Libre, bueno, Denver Broncos, International.
And he educated me because now I didn't even know that the Denver Broncos had that many fans in Mexico, but I guess they do now because, hey, Lucha Libre, I guess, is probably spreading wild. But let's get into this. And we talk about Russell Wilson. Let's play the soundbite first. We're going to play this soundbite of Russell Wilson, Sean Payton and Russell Wilson talking, and Russell's Sean Payton's talking. Let's play the soundbite. Thomas, play that soundbite.
What was going on?
It was more than just one drive. There was a number of drives, where we're late with personnel, getting out of the huddle. We took a while. I mean, that's got to change. We had to burn timeouts in the first half, and I'm not used to doing. We got to be better, and I've got to be better. Russ has got to be sharper with getting the play out, and then we got to look at how much we have in. But, if we need to wristband it, we will.
Now, when I look at Sean Payton in that instance, and he, before we cut it off, guys, he was going to talk about the wristband that me and Plum talked about earlier before the show came on. But when I look at Sean Payton's demeanor, when you say, I'm not used to doing that, when you say you're not used to doing that, who are you shooting the blame at?
Mr. Wilson. Everyone must remember now. As sports fans, sometimes we all get amnesia and we forget something. But if we remember, Nathaniel Hackett, week 1, was blamed for the incident with Russell Wilson. Yes. There was a communication issue in the first game with Nathaniel Hackett. Everybody saw Hackett can't get the plays in. Hackett's not a head coach. But the reality of it is what we realize, ladies and gentlemen, is that Russell Wilson has a problem when he gets these plays in his head. Something's happening from the time it's in his headset. It's clear. It's not an inaudible information. He's getting a clear message. What he's not getting is he's not able to relay the verbiage in a fast manner to get it out to his teammates and then actually let it apply. So this happened last year.
I'm getting Texas on my text sheet saying, you might have to leave that mask where it's at after this week. You know that got to be a Miami Dolphin fan. Dolphin fans are charming in saying that you might have to leave that mask after this week.
I will tell you, Miami Dolphin fans, one thing and one thing only. Vic Fangio is your defensive coordinator, is he not? Vic Fangio was my head coach. The problem with the game this week is Bradley Chubb, my star, and I love Chubb. You know I love Chubb.
Yes.
Okay? I love Chubb. Chubb's on Miami right now. Vic Fangio's on Miami right now. Vic Fangio and Chubb, in their own minds, Vic Fangio in particular feels like he was slighted. Correct. Vic Fangio feels like he should have still been the head coach of the Denver Broncos, which I thought he should have at the time.
Correct.
Okay?
Correct.
I like Vic Fangio. I like Chubb. I like the whole team. Yes. Miami Dolphins, you're the better team. You should win the game. However, 4 quarters in a football game. They got to expect the Denver Broncos to come with a little more fight in them this week.
Oh, yeah.
We were up 21-3 last week until Russell Wilson fumbled the ball and everything went downhill after that.
Went straight south.
When the leader of the team acts like he don't want to play and he's lost and he's losing it, the whole thing went straight out the window. So, yes, Miami Dolphin fans, I may have to take this mask off and go back to the normal face next week. But y'all better hope you I lose because if I don't, guess what?
It's
going to be called Mile High South.
Yes.
Mile High South. The last time we beat y'all Last time we beat y'all, I was in the stadium and I had a bunch of fans, thousands of fans almost, and we chanted Mile High South because it was the Tim Tebow game. I'm going to tell them when it was.
Oh,
tell them
Dolphin
fans. I'm going to remind you, y'all, put it first of all, when you go to Miami, ladies and gentlemen, if you've never been in this stadium before, this team is flick. What they do is they put the opposing team on the side where the sun is coming down and there's no shade.
No shade, yeah.
No shade. So you sit in, the whole team is sitting in direct sunlight for 4 hours.
Drenching. That's what Miami do. Miami
with
will.
Equipment when they, on when everything.
Team, so, they do that.
So we coming out with our tent this week. We coming out with our overhead thing. We might have to put a little mask on to keep the sun off us. A little UPS 50. But the last time we was in that stadium, we chanted Mile High South when Tim Tebow beat the Miami Dolphins.
And I think Thomas, play this second soundbite where they're saying now this is probably what you're going to need to do to beat Miami.
Okay.
He was talking, well, we're talking about now, Sean Payton saying, what do you got to do with Russell Wilson to make it more efficient for the team? Play that soundbite for me.
I think number one, the first thing that we always try to look at, but we have to do a better job as coaches, is reduce the verbiage. We have a longer play, then we can easily get to a wristband. We have to reduce the variables. I just finished saying this in the team meeting. If we're making mental errors defensively and offensively, we're having trouble breaking the huddle and getting lined up, then we have to look at it. We have too much in the game plan. How do we reduce the verbiage of the line of scrimmage and the huddle? Quite frankly, that's going to improve.
You hear it clear. You hear it clearly right there is that you're going to have to simple it now. So when you said, when you were saying X curl, Z post, Y wagger, you got to say, okay, listen, I need you to make a cheeseburger move right here. This is called a cheeseburger play. That sounds like you lead Bush League type of football. To where we got to get out of that verbiage, unless they got it too long to where it's taking hard to translate it from the sideline to his headset and him to get the guys in the play before the play clock strikes down. If it is, then yeah. But to me, when I see Sean Payton, I saw Sean Payton says, because you got to understand, Sean Payton had Drew Brees.
Right.
And I've never heard him say, I got to dummy it down. We got to make it simpler. So that tells me, how long do the Denver Broncos put up with simplifying? And Sean Payton made it real clear, I'm not used to doing this.
You're right. And you know what? This is actually an indictment to Russell Wilson, but he's not going to throw him under the bus first. See, a good leader takes responsibility first. And in that interview, he said, it starts with me. I have to be better. Then he said, Russ has got to be better. And then he went on and on and on, right? So he's telling you, I'm going to make my adjustment this week.
Hey,
so it ain't going to be on Sean Payton no more, right?
Yeah, no Sean Payton. So when I look at it, I'm thinking it's going to be simple. Sean Payton's going to get it. But you talked about throwing under the bus. He didn't want to throw Russ up under the bus.
No.
Finna lead into a soundbite now to where you be the judge if the coaches were threw up under the bus for the player to sound good, or was it just taken out of content? Play the soundbite. Play that third soundbite for me with Justin Fields. And I'm going to let you be my audience, be the judge of this soundbite. When you hear this soundbite, you tell me what you think.
Justin Fields spoke today about playing freely in this offense.
Of course, you know, things that I didn't like, I felt like, you know, I wasn't necessarily playing my game. Felt like I was kind of robotic and, you know, not playing like myself. So, my goal this week is just to, you know, say effort and just go out there and, you know, play football how I know how to play football. And that's not... that includes thinking less and just going out there and, you know, playing off of instincts rather than just so much, so to say, info in my head, data in my head, and literally just going out there playing football.
Listen, V, when you hear that press conference and he
said,
I'm playing robotic.
Yes,
that means I'm playing what the coaches are telling me to do. I got to, if I come out with a three-step drop, I got to go here. I can't be athletic, is what he's saying, as he's seeing some of these other guys,
right?
Like Lamar Thomas, like
Lamar Jackson.
Some of these other guys that are having hurts, that are having fun and not looking robotic. But did he throw the coaches under the bus in this process? That's what I'm trying to figure out. To me, if I was listening at that, when you saying playing robotic, that means you're not playing your game. You're saying, F what they're saying, I'm going to do what I want to do. Here we go again. How long will have Justin Fields and the Chicago Bears are on their way to divorce court?
I have said for two seasons, Justin Fields is ready to get out of Chicago. I travel to Chicago a lot. I listen to the media there. This town and this organization has never had a quarterback.
Wow.
If you look in the history of this franchise, they've never groomed one. They've never acquired one in any method. No one of substantial. Justin Fields is here, and what's happening, I said it from day one. People try talking as Justin Fields is a running quarterback and this, then the third. Justin Fields was not a running quarterback at Ohio State. Justin right. Fields threw to Chris Olave before. First-round draft pick, New Orleans Saints. Justin Fields threw to Garrett Wilson before.
Correct.
Wide receiver, New York Jets, first-round draft pick. We all know these guys are dogs, can play football. Justin Fields is around better coaches at Ohio State than he is coaches at the Chicago Bears. Nagy included. That was the former coach. Lou Getz, he's the offensive coordinator now. Never been an offensive coordinator. You get him from Green Bay and you bring him to here. He's a quarterback coach, and you're going to make him your coordinator? Wide receivers don't know the routes. If you watch the tape, last week we saw, and last year we saw, the worst wide receiving crew of any quarterback to have in the history of football possibly was just against Justin Fields last year. Chase Claypool was acquired by a second-round draft pick, ladies and gentlemen. Correct. Guess what? Chase Claypool did not know the playbook. If you watch Chase Claypool this year, he's still not running routes far. He's still not blocking properly. He's still not where he's supposed to be. And everyone wants to blame Justin Fields. Well, Tone, guess what? This is what it comes down to. It comes down to Justin Fields was honest. He Correct. Was honest. He said that y'all got me putting all this stuff in my head and everything and making me something that I'm not.
Correct.
So
Correct.
It becomes robotic. What I'm telling people is right now, everyone wants to analyze Justin Fields, but as we had right here on the Tony Sands show, we had the quarterback coach who worked with Justin Fields this summer.
Justin Fields, correct, correct,
okay?
Correct.
Right here on the Tony Sands show, ladies and gentlemen, nowhere else. This gentleman explained, Mr. Bozeman explained, quarterback guru explained what they worked on, which was getting that ball out that man's hands fast.
Getting it out of his hands. Taking that, that pretty much that three-step, getting it out, let him do what he do. And that's what it. I think, what he's saying, robotic. We have a call on the phone. We have Derek. And I think this is D, the Miami Dolphin. D, what's going on, my brother?
Hey, Nephew, man, I hear y'all. Listen, I tell what's you that? What, this is what Justin Fields need to do. Justin Fields need to stay steady. Justin Fields need to believe like my nephew Tony believed. And my nephew wouldn't give up. Even when football wasn't there, he saw what football was. So this stuff, what Justin's going through, he's going to be able to do something. It's going to be a kid in Justin's life that's going to need this lesson what Justin's going to. Because I'm calling to tell y'all about my nephew. I just heard the news about you being inducted into the Ring of Honor in Kansas. Now, I went to Kansas. My nephew was there with me. You know, and it's so funny. I'm at a JV football game because I train a kid. And that's crazy. I hear that news when I'm sitting here with my nephew, and my nephew just what it was. And this is what it's all about. So, you know, Justin Fields got to be able. It's a new game now. And when I was this college, you had to be quiet. But Justin Fields, he got to do that because you know what? To tell the truth, he played football one way his all life. Chicago drafted him, and they going to try to change him. That's not good football. You feel me?
Right.
This game, he played a million ways.
Indeed, man. Thank you for that insight, man. Thank you for calling in, man. Listen, we're going to head to a quick commercial break. Thank you, man. Hey, listen, keep each and every day. Keep listening in, man. We keep giving it to them each and every week. We're going to go to a quick commercial break, and we'll come back on the other side. Listen, we're going to talk injuries and the NFL. Injuries in the NFL. What has happened? Do we keep the turf, or do we release and say, guess what? We take it all out. We spend over $15 million. And I don't know if the NFL wants to spend $15 million. This is how deep this conversation has got. I was going to have one of my guys come on that's with the NFLPA. Soon, but the day before, the NFLPA, them got into their leadership meetings, and they went closed door. And I got a text saying, hey, listen, we can't talk. You know, it's a closed-lip thing. So I respect it. what was happening, because I know how deep this is going to go with the NFLPA. They're going to push for it, but we got to understand that this has not only been the time that the NFL has talked about changing the turf. They talked about the same topic when the concussion issue blew up on them. They talked about, hey, we got to change the turf. It'll be easier on the impact. But then they went into the bargaining agreements and they said, okay, hey, listen, what we're going to do, we're going to give you a better help. We're going to give you better helmets and let you, you know, see if that's their bargaining. And the NFL players must be said, okay, hey, listen, they voted. Yeah, we'll go for that. We'll go for better helmets. But now we're back to this topic because now we've seen Aaron Rodgers. We've seen Aaron Rodgers go down with an Achilles tear. But you know, it's my pleasure. I speak with this doctor and I see this physical therapist every day when I'm at the facility. So I got a chance to ask him, give me your opinion of Aaron Rodgers' injury. Is it equated to turf or was it just something in the muscle that gave out? He's going to give you his side of that. When we return back, we're going to go straight to that interview and let him tell you how he sees this is playing out.
That's how you train like a beast. Whole squad ready. We came here to see Jeff. What you got? No. Not on my watch.
No way.
Bring what you got. I'm going to the top. You can bring what you got. I'm going to the top. Bring what you got. Bring what you got. I'm going to the top. I'm going to the top.
That's how you train like a beast.
Whole squad ready. We came here to see Jeff. What you got? No, not on my watch.
No way.
Bring what you got, I'm going to the top. You can bring what you got, I'm going to the top. Bring what you got. Bring what you got. I'm going to the top. I'm going to the top.
Hi, I'm Tony Sands. We're back here at the Tony Sands Show. Listen, we're digging into one of the hottest topics that's going around right now in the NFL, and the reason that it's going on is because of the injury to possibly Brett Favre. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, I'm going Brett Favre. Listen, they're all the same. They look about the same. They did the same thing at the same time at Green Bay, launched their career in Green Bay. But let's get into Aaron Rodgers' injury, Doc. And I wanted to bring you on, South Florida. Doc is, when it comes to making sure you do not get in this situation, he tries his best to make sure that's not going to happen. Doc, welcome to the Tony Sands Show.
Appreciate you having me, Doc. So, Coach.
Go ahead.
So, just to introduce myself, that does that on me. My name is Dr. Luke. I'm a physical therapist down here in South Florida. And Coach Sands and I work at the same facility where I do a lot of my rehab, and he has a lot of his athletes. So today in person, we were actually talking about this whole Aaron Rodgers situation. So what it really comes down to is he obviously had an Achilles rupture. Some people are now saying it actually wasn't a full rupture, which is affecting how his surgery is going to happen. And the idea that he may be potentially coming back in the playoffs. But the conversation you and I had were more with regards to this idea of the whole issue of turf.
Correct.
Versus grass.
Now, Doc, you just said something, and some people going, my audience is going to say, wait a minute, what did he just say? And I said the same thing when you said there is possibility they're trying to give him a special type of surgery that can bring him back, because Achilles is normally a year-ending injury, you're done. What is it in this surgery that they're starting to, I guess, use with Aaron Rodgers that's going to bring him back so fast?
So to my understanding, it's the way in which they're going to put the Achilles together.
Correct.
Now, he being more on the rehab side, not the one that actually does the surgery, because we're seeing our athletes after the fact. I really don't know the ins and outs of it. But from my understanding, the way in which his Achilles ruptured, they plan on doing a technique that you can make the argument is not as invasive. So whenever you hear something not as invasive, there's not as much that's being done, not as many tissue being cut into. So if something is less invasive, you in theory would imagine that the recovery is going to be faster because in theory there's less tissue that has to heal as far as what they actually need to cut through. But once again, I don't know the ins and outs of it because we're seeing the athletes after the fact. But once again, this is a lot of media that's being paid to how realistic this is. I don't know, because to your point, these injuries often take at least a full year.
Yes, and especially when it comes to Achilles. Yes.
Correct. And generally speaking, it's very rare. You could be the top of the top that we really see athletes beat that. Because let's switch sports for a second. You look at Kevin Durant. He was out for a very long time. So sometimes it does come down to the individual athlete, but you have to respect the healing process. So with Aaron Rodgers, we wish him the best, and we'll see what happens. But to your point, it typically takes at least a year, at least.
And Doc, you spoke about, you put up a video on your social media, and we're going to break it down. I want to go get into this. I'm going to have Thomas to bring it up, and we're going to walk through this. I'm going to stop it, and we're going to walk through it. We're going to speak to it to let our audience know what actually happened. What's the probability of him coming back? Was it with turf? Was it without turf? Could either one, could this have been prevented? And let's break down. Thomas, go ahead and let's bring that video up for me. Let's bring that up first.
Dr. Luke from Remarkable Recovery and Rehab, here to speak to you guys about the unfortunate Achilles tendon rupture injury that took place at Aaron Rodgers earlier this week at the start of Monday Night Football. Many of you have been talking about the mechanism of injury as well as how the injury could have been prevented. And part two to this, next Monday, I'm going to explain to you guys why I'm putting prevented in quotes. But for the time being, let's jump right into the mechanism of the injury itself. Whenever an Achilles tendon rupture injury occurs, it occurs when the foot is being put in extreme dorsiflexion and closed chain position. In this particular case, as Aaron Rodgers is being sacked, you can see his foot, or his shin for that matter, is going extremely over the foot itself, putting a lot of load on his Achilles tendon. In the process of that, you can see the muscle belly shake, because what's literally happening is the Achilles tendon is being pulled from the heel and retracted up into the calf.
Now we'll go back. And if you looked at that close, a lot of people, and I'm quite sure a lot of people didn't, they didn't focus in on that. They focused in on the, more or less, did his foot slip up from out of the turf? And you saw that muscle shake. So with that, walk us through that, what led to that muscle being shook like that.
So anatomically speaking, right, if you understand what the Achilles tendon is, it's a tendon that attaches the calf to the heel. As he's planting his foot, it is true. You can see literally his foot is kind of slides up on that turf.
Correct.
In addition to that, within that process, he's in what we call extreme dorsiflexion. So it's essentially when your shin is coming over the foot itself and you're putting a lot of stretch on the Achilles, which is attaching the calf to the heel. So as much as the turf, you really do see his foot slide a little bit. You still have to take into account the amount of stress going through the Achilles as it relates to his own body weight, as well as that of the 240-pound linebacker that's sacking. So in my personal opinion, as I said in my part two, I believe even with that movement that happened with his foot on the turf, that even outside of that, it's a lot of load on his Achilles. And had it happened on grass, I still believe that his Achilles could have ruptured just based on the amount of load, regardless of whether it was grass or turf. Because just imagine, 240-pound linebacker plus whatever amount of Aaron Rodgers' body weight is going through that Achilles tendon, regardless of the surface, we can all agree that's a lot of load. And you have to have a pretty strong Achilles for it to withstand that, regardless of who you are. And considering the amount of trauma that's happening in that moment, I think it's hard to say, as compared to if it was just non-contact, whether or not the turf itself made a difference.
Now, and you say you got to have a pretty strong Achilles tendon. What are some of the things that you got to do to strengthen the Achilles so that way you can try to, at best, prevent this injury from happening?
So I'm going to work backwards in addressing the prevent part. So I'll say this. You'll hear PTs and even ourselves will market the idea of injury prevention. Injury prevention in and of itself, especially when it comes to football specific or really contact injuries, is a hard thing to argue if it ever really exists. So the more appropriate thing really is saying, how do we decrease your risk of injury, right? Because things happen. Players end up in these awkward positions with a lot of force where You could train Achilles as much as you want. It may be hard to actually prevent the injury. But to decrease the risk, you have to make sure your training loads the Achilles, not only in what we call concentric, which is whenever the calf is shortening, but you have to do some eccentric work. So one easy example, this is very basic, is you'll see we'll do two up, meaning your calf raising with both feet. You'll take one off. And in this case, let's say we are focusing on the left. You slowly come down on that leg. And then you bring the opposite leg back up. Up with two, take the leg off, down with one. Eccentric loading refers to when you're lengthening the tissue or strengthening it in its lengthening phase. A lot of trainers, coaches make the mistake of only doing concentric loaded. So that's regular calf raises all day. You're shortening the muscle, but you're not strengthening its ability to tolerate load in a lengthened position, which is essentially what his Achilles was in. It was in a lengthened position with his foot being dorsiflexed.
And when you talked about a lot of the calf raises, now, and what I've learned, and you know, I've been in the game a long time, a lot of people have gotten away from calf raises. A lot of trainers and a lot of coaches have really gotten away from them. I'm one of those guys that still stay in it because I believe in it wholeheartedly. Now, if you look back, let's say 15 years prior, do you see as many Achilles back then as you are seeing now, or you thinking it's about the same?
I think it's hard to say. I think it's very hard to say because sometimes it gets tricky, right? When you're looking at research, right? Number one, you got to look at where's the source. Because let's go back to this Aaron Rodgers thing. If you ask the NFL, they're going to tell you the research that they saw or looking at sees no difference. If you talk to the NFLPA, they're going to tell you there is a difference. So when you're looking at the research, it becomes very hard to say what's what because you have to look at where's the research coming from?
Correct.
What kind of study? So I'm one of those people that I'll be honest with you. I stay a little bit in the middle because unless I can say for a fact it's more or less, I just give you based on what I know. So I will say based on what I know, it's hard to say whether it's more or will be more or less. But I will say more research needs to be done. And coaches, trainers, PTs need to be very specific in how they're training or rehabbing their clients to decrease the chance of this injury happening altogether.
And now, and we get into it, and we got into it earlier, and we talked about it. Now, because on one side, the NFLPA wanted out. On the other side, the NFL office saying, like you said, the research that they're showing is really not that major of a difference when you look at the amount of injuries that were last year that were equated to possibly turf and grass. They're saying it's probably not that much in between. So I think when you look at the NFL, and I tell people this all the time, we talked about it earlier, you've gotten youth league parks from all over to put turfing on their fields. And to pull back from that and say, that might be an injury situation. I think that's going to play a part in a lot of this. I tried to get one of my guys on that's with the NFLPA, but the NFLPA and the NFL have really put a gag order on top of talking about this issue. Because if you looked at Goodell was on Stephen A. Smith show First Take talking about this same topic. So when I saw him go on, I said, okay, this been to come back up because you got to remember, this topic came back up with the concussions. This was a big topic with the concussions. Should they take grass and put all the fields back grass again? And it kind of died out because they said, guess what? We'll give you players better helmets to really absorb some of the trauma that goes to the brain once the head hit the turf. And I guess, you know, in their bargain agreement, I'm quite sure that was something that they talked about deeply. And here we are, the turf is still in, but now we're coming back. And they're saying it's going to really cost, it'll cost the league about $15 million, which, and when we're talking about the NFL, that's peanuts, to get every field grass. I'm an athlete, and Doc, and I told you, for me, what my game was about, I loved the turf because it is faster than grass was. I felt faster on turf than I do on grass. And a lot of some players are saying they like it. Some players are saying they don't. So it's going to be, to me, it'll be another topic. Okay, we'll try this, but it'll be another topic that'll go up under the rug, because I don't think they have enough research on is this equating to injuries that can say, hey, we need the NFL saying, hey, we need to invest the money into taking this out. I think you'll see a couple of teams next year probably research it and take it out. Philadelphia at one time had the worst turf in the world. And after a couple significant injuries where it cost guys their careers, they wind up changing their turf. But, you know, you look at the Dolphin field, that and that turf takes maintenance.
Yeah.
That artificial grass, I mean, it takes serious. To have real grass in, it takes a lot of maintenance. That means, guess what? Now you got to hire a field crew to make sure that this grass is ready to go. And then Roger Goodell talked about how FIFA is adding the grass in with the artificial surface. So I don't, that's another whole nother topic. I'm quite sure that's going to come up. And I know what would be, if you had your way with your athletes, what would you say would be to your, that you would love to see? Would it be, you know, the turf, or would it be the grass surface?
So I say this, if I'm taking the stance of the athletes, right? From what I'm seeing these days, the athletes prefer grass. If you look at some training that's happening in South Florida, you see that they're training on grass. So if I'm taking that stance, it would be more in line with swapping it out for grass. And let's just say, in theory, let's say if the research is in favor of less injuries on grass, NFL big picture, you will actually save money by less injuries, because you'll be in less situations in which, if in theory, if you swap out the grass, where you're having athletes get injured and you're paying them guaranteed money for which they're not playing because they're hurt. And a lot of these guys actually want to play the game. They love the game that much. And as much as some of them are blessed, in a sense, from a safety net to have the guaranteed money to still have income in spite of them not playing like they were intended to, they would still rather be playing than be injured. So,
of course,
if grass can, in fact, decrease the injury, NFL, you would, in theory, save your money in the long term.
Correct.
Your back end.
And that's, you know, not like I say, because I train athletes and I have to make sure during the summer months, when they're home and during the offseason, I put them more on grass surface versus training them on turf surface. But the simple fact is that it helps with their joints, they, you know, the hips, their knees, their ankles, down to their toes. You know, I have some athletes that have, you know, where now they're coming into, as I told you, as I have, that turf toe, and that's something when it flares up and it puts you in a whole nother mood swing, to where I have to walk around with my shoes off to just try to survive this thing. So, and you look back, and one of the probably athletes which now have taken over the college world, if you look at Prime, had to have some of his toes amputated, and now he's walking, you know, 7 to 8 toes down. So that turf toe can hurt you. So the turf can be an issue, but I guess I'm quite sure the NFL and the NFLPA are what they're going to do. They're going to continue to fight this issue, because I didn't see the issue changing when there was concussions versus now we're talking about an injury of an Achilles that where Aaron Rodgers has brought back up the topic. Which surface should we play on? Because, you know, you're never going to get 100% of the athletes voting one side. You're just not. You're probably you know, it's never going to go. Small guys like myself, quick guys, will always say they want turf. Bigger guys, things like that, quarterbacks can always say they want grass. It's better to me. It depends on the climate that you're in. To me, as far as how it feels, because you look at Green Bay and the winter months, that field can feel like a brick of ice. It's already. So it just depends on the climate, I think. And I think a lot of that's going to play a factor in it. When you're looking at indoor surfaces, Arizona is the only one have what they have, a retractable surface to where they have the grass, but they can actually put it outside to get sunlight. A lot of fields, a lot of indoor facilities don't have that accommodation, didn't build that accommodation. So to have them to come back is going to cost a cost that I'm quite sure that they don't want to absorb. And it'll be something that'll be probably in the next bargaining agreement, not this one, that'll pretty much where this subject will be, get dealt with. Doc, man, like, listen, I'd like to thank you for taking your time out. Man, listen, anytime I want to bring you back on, anytime we come up with these injuries, even before, and see, like you be saying, let's go before the injury, before we get to the injury, let's try to do that. Like I said, we'll probably look at, I'll speak with you in reference to where we dig into hamstrings, quads, and we talk about how people can come and see you and to try to help with preventive measures. Don't wait till you get to this point to see, Doc, let's try it before. So, Doc, let's talk about that to where we get a subject in, a topic in each week on a different muscle group that it takes for an athlete to move. But thank you for joining the Tony Sands Show, man. Listen, it was fun. We're going to keep digging into these topics. Guys, we're signing off here on the Tony Sands Show. I am Tony Sands. Listen, thank Doc for giving his knowledge. Until we see you the following Thursday, that following Thursday, I'll be on my way to Boulder, Colorado. That's right. You heard me say it. I'll be on my way. Prime, as you say, I'm not hard to find. I'm coming. We already there. I'll be in Boulder with Prime Time. We're signing off here on the Tony Sands Show. Peace.
Safe travels.